It's very common for you and I to get instructions for something. I know our school children get that every day. The teachers tell them what their assignment is and how to take care of that assignment. You and I get instructions on updating our driver's license or doing our registration for our vehicle. It's all kinds of things that we need to learn how to do, and the instructions tell us. Well, when Jesus left this earth, he gave some instructions to his disciples. And the instructions were very clear. He wanted them to continue preaching and teaching his word so that others could learn about him. Well, you and I have those same instructions. We're to live like believers. We're to live in a way that pleases God. And we too are to share our faith when we have that opportunity so that others can know the same wonderful things that we know by faith. We're going to talk about that this evening and talk about Jesus and the work that he has for us to do. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this, I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit may rule and direct all things in our hearts and lives, for without your help we are unable to please you. We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from Ephesians 1, verses 16 through 23. Paul here is praying for his fellow Christians in Ephesus to be strong in their faith in Jesus. They could be content knowing that God would be ruling all things for their benefit and blessing. We have that same privilege. Jesus is in heaven, ruling all things for our good as well. Here's what Paul was inspired to write. I never stop giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing Christ fully. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, just how rich his glorious inheritance among the saints is, and just how surpassingly great his power is for us who believe. It is as great as the working of his mighty strength, which God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God also placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The gospel reading for this evening is from Luke 24, verses 44 to 53. This is also about Jesus' ascension and what Jesus wanted his disciples to do. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He led them out as far as the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. So they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple courts, praising and blessing God. God's word for our study and our encouragement is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Dear fellow worshipers, twice a year we have what we call a work day here at church. We've got one coming up in 2 weeks, Saturday, June 3rd. We get together and we clean things up, or things get repaired, or we're building something, or cutting down a tree, or doing all kinds of things. We're going to have that Saturday, June 3rd, and our big project this year is to work on the school office, get everything out of there and start remodeling it. It's original to the building, 1958, so time to make some changes. Well, typically what happens when we have a work day is that people from church get together, and then we start in the morning on Saturday and usually are done by noon. But when people see each other and they have the time to talk, well, now they sit and visit and they want to talk about things and, "Hi, how you doing?" And all of that is very fun and necessary. But then there's also some things, some work to do too, that keep in mind. Well, I'm sure as Jesus and the disciples spent 3 years together that they loved their time with the Savior. They heard his teaching, they saw his miracles. Jesus is teaching them so many things and guiding them through their lives here. They didn't realize how short that time was going to be, but how special it was to be together as fellow disciples, to be together with Jesus that you and I have never been with. But the disciples weren't just there to enjoy that time together as fellow disciples. Jesus also had some work for them to do. And when he ascended into heaven, he told them exactly what it was that he wanted them to do. Well, the Lord does the same thing in our lives too. We're not just here to live our life here. We're here because the Lord still wants us here and he's got things for us to do. Jesus gives us that work to do, and then he gives us the instructions, tells us exactly what it is, and then he even provides the strength and the ability so that you and I can serve him while we're here. Ascension for Jesus was like his celebration. It's the last thing that he did before he went back to heaven. Easter Sunday, he rises from the dead. You heard in our reading that during his resurrection and ascension, those 40 days, Jesus is making all kinds of appearances. He doesn't want to leave doubt in anyone's mind that he's alive. He's been brought back from the dead. But now, these 40 days later, Jesus is getting ready to leave. And he's told his disciples all about it. He's told them that he's going to ascend back to heaven. They cannot follow him right now, and that's just the way it was going to be. But they didn't understand. They were just so confused about things. And it was to the point where they even got the purpose of Jesus being here mixed up. And you heard that in the Bible reading. Jesus is up on this mountainside with his 12 disciples or 11 disciples, and now they're going to watch him go up into the clouds. And one of the disciples, I don't know which one it was, he said, "Well, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" In other words, is this when you're going to make the Jews a great nation again, a great earthly kingdom? Well, that really had nothing to do with what Jesus came to the earth for. Jesus was a Jew, but his kingdom wasn't about an earthly thing. They had it all mixed up and confused. While Jesus' ascension was going to help them, even though they were confused, his ascension would help them. He told them where he was going and what he was going to be doing. He's going back to heaven. He's getting a place ready for them. Seeing Jesus leave was a good thing, because then they would know that he's gone. If he had just vanished from them, they would probably have looked for him in some other town or some other place. But when they saw him ascend into heaven, they knew where he went. It was also good for them to see Jesus go into heaven, because then they knew that he had left them there to do the same work that Jesus had been doing. He left them there so that they could continue to preach and teach God's word. And it's while they're standing there, they must have been staring up at the sky for quite a while, and here come a couple of angels that give them this message. "Guys, why are you standing here? Jesus is returning, but not yet. And while he's gone, he has work for you to do. So don't just stand there. Do the work, follow the instructions that Jesus is going to give you." And what specifically were those instructions? It was a command, and Jesus told them what to do and what to believe. Matthew 28 helps us out there, which talks about Jesus' ascension into heaven. And in Matthew 28, Jesus tells them, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the triune God, teaching them everything that I have taught you." That was the disciples' work. They were to go and preach God's word. They were to share their faith. They were to baptize people and bring more into the kingdom of God. And Jesus was giving them that opportunity. Jesus has blessed us with the same thing in our lives. We have faith in Jesus. Our sins are forgiven, like these first disciples. We have our home in heaven that's been prepared for us. And now that we have all those blessings, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus would just take us right up to heaven and take us there? And then we wouldn't have to be in this sinful world, and we wouldn't have all the pain and suffering and trouble and sorrow of life here. That would be amazing. But then if all believers, as soon as they were brought to faith, went up to heaven, who would be left here to continue the Lord's work? Jesus leaves us here, and he does it for a reason. He does it so that you and I can live our Christian life here and enjoy it and all the blessings that God gives us. But he also leaves us here so that we can be an example to others of what it means to be a child of God. He leaves us here so that we can use what we know about Jesus to share with others that have no idea about him, and to encourage them to learn the same simple Bible truths that we know so well. Jesus has work for us to do, and he gives us the instructions. We know what to do. What a privilege and what a great responsibility to be able to do so. There were so many times with Jesus and his disciples that the disciples were just foolish. They just didn't get it. And this is one of them, where they questioned Jesus about what his kingdom is and what it means. Are you going to stay here and be an earthly king, Jesus? Something like that. You and I look at Bible stories like that and we think to ourselves, at least I do, Well, those disciples, why didn't they just believe? That shouldn't have been so hard. Jesus is telling you something. Why don't you just believe him and trust him? Well, oftentimes, you and I might think that we would have done a lot better being there with Jesus and believing the things that he said, but I'm not so sure. Sometimes you and I are just as foolish. God makes a promise to us, and what do? Well, sometimes we believe it, but sometimes we question it when it doesn't look as if it can happen or that Jesus can keep the promise. Jesus gives us instructions to follow. He wants us to live like believers here in a sinful world, but so often you and I might be thinking about not necessarily serving Jesus, but serving ourselves, and what do I want to do? What's in this for me kind of a thing. Sometimes, instead of following Jesus' instructions and living like a Christian and sharing our faith when we can, we're more concerned about what we want and let other people fend for themselves when it comes to spiritual things. Sometimes we're just as foolish as those disciples, not trusting, not believing, hearing what Jesus says, and then not following it in our lives of faith. You know what causes a lot of that? It's selfishness. If I'm selfish with my time, I'm not really thinking about serving the Lord. If I'm selfish with my abilities, and instead of serving God, I want to serve something else, serve something for me, that's selfish. If I think, well, I have my faith, let other people fend for themselves, well, that's really selfish. Selfishness, if that runs my life, I can't live like a child of God because I'm living for me and not for my Savior. Jesus lived the most unselfish life that you and I could ever imagine. Leaves his perfect home in heaven, comes back here to live like one of us, leaves it all, sets aside the full use of his power and glory so that he can save us from our sins. He didn't come here to be served, but to serve, as the Bible says. When we see that kind of unselfishness, when we see the humility Jesus had in serving us, well, that's what you and I want to do too, out of love and thanks for what he has done in our lives. Jesus has instructions for us. He has work for us to do. He's in heaven now, that glorious place where he gets his full use of his power and glory back again. And not only does he tell us what to do, but he also gives the power for us to be able to serve him and for that word of his to bring more people to faith. Jesus' disciples were going to need some help. They're on that mountain. They see Jesus leave. Now they maybe thought he was coming back, so the angels have to tell them, he's not coming back, so you guys better get busy. But they still had a couple of problems. They didn't really understand everything yet. And if they were going to be witnesses, if they were going to say what they knew and saw, which many of them did, they needed to understand how it all fit together. If these men were not only to be witnesses, but they were also to boldly go about and share God's word, well, that was going to need to change too, because these were the guys who were hiding for fear of being persecuted, and perhaps they still felt that way. That was going to have to change. Jesus promised that that was coming. 10 days after Jesus' ascension would be the day of Pentecost. And here's what Jesus says in our Bible reading about sending them some help. He says, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus was promising to send them the Holy Spirit. He was going to give them the understanding that they needed to know exactly what Jesus had done and why. And then he was going to give them a boldness. He was going to give them this determination to share their faith. And this wasn't a very friendly world for them to live in. Being a Christian was under attack. Being persecuted, that was common for Christians. The Holy Spirit would give them boldness. They not only had the instructions, now they would have the ability, and Jesus would bless the work that they did as they served the Lord. There was a time element too. There was an urgency in what Jesus told the disciples. They would not be around a very long time. Many of them, maybe all of them, were persecuted and killed for their faith. The people that they were preaching to, they would have a time limit too. Their lifetime, that was their time of grace, and once that was over, then they lost out on their ability and opportunity for faith. So there was an urgency for them to do the work because of the timing, their lifetime, judgment day, all of that. God has blessed you and I with the things that we need to share His Word to. Every time we're together, we're studying God's Word, the Holy Spirit's giving us a better understanding of who God is, what He's done for us, and what He wants us to do. As we get stronger in our faith, again through the work of the Holy Spirit, He gives us a boldness and a confidence about our faith. Being a Christian isn't something that should make us afraid. It's something that you and I are proud of because of what Jesus has done for us. And in a simple, humble way, we find ways to share that, even if it's just through our example. There's a time element for us too, isn't there? You and I will not be on this earth forever. Our lifetime is limited, where we have this opportunity to live as Christians. But Judgment Day, that's coming, isn't it? And it's maybe here sooner than we think. That's what we hope for always, but we don't know what the Lord's plan is. But we're not sure how long people have until the Judgment Day comes. So as you and I think about living as Christians, as we think about sharing our faith, it's not something that can wait. It's something that we want to use every opportunity for because we realize how important it is in our lives. Faith has changed our lives forever. And we know because of it, we have a home in heaven that Jesus is preparing right now and has prepared. It's our privilege to be able to share that with others so that they know what we know and can have that same gift of salvation. We're to get busy. Jesus has things for us to do. He gives us the power and the ability to do that. Can you imagine having that persecution in Bible times? I'm sure Paul and the others, they would go places and they would preach and they wouldn't know if they were going to come home that night or whether they would end up in a jail cell. And it often happened that they would be physically beaten or put in jail, some of them even killed again for their faith. Well, there's fears for us too. You think about sharing your faith and the devil wants us to be afraid of that. He wants us to think, for example, that If I share my faith, well, the person that I think I'm going to talk to, they probably won't believe anyway, so I'm not going to share my faith with them. It's not going to work. People think that way. That's the way the devil would want us to think. Sometimes people are afraid of sharing their faith because what if they ask me a question that I can't answer? Then what do I do? Sometimes people are afraid to share their faith because what if somebody gets really mad at them for talking about Jesus when they don't believe in Him and they make a big scene somewhere. What am I going to do then? Well, there's all kinds of things that can make us afraid of either being a Christian or living as a Christian or sharing our faith with someone. But if you and I are going to try and live as Christians by trusting ourselves, it's going to be impossible. Jesus wants us to trust Him. And He's done the impossible, hasn't He? He's lived a perfect life here. That was impossible for us, but He made it possible. Jesus died to pay for all of our sins. That was impossible for us, but He did it. Jesus rose again from the dead and just gave evidence the last 40 days about it. And it would be impossible for us, but not for Him. And as you and I live like Christians, we don't get the power to do that from ourselves. We get it from God. We learn to trust God and believe Him and His promises. As we share our faith, it's not you or me that's bringing somebody to faith or converting them or talking them into it. It's not us. It's God. God does that. And that's who we trust. That's who we trust for ourselves to be strong in our own faith. That's who we trust for our home in heaven. And that's who we trust when it comes to living as a Christian here and talking with others about the Savior that we love. Jesus has work for us to do. And it's not difficult. He gives us all the things that we need to do so. And what a privilege it is to know what Jesus' instructions are for living as a Christian and for Him to give us the ability to do so. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, join in our confession of faith. Tonight we're using the second article of the Apostles' Creed. This is about the work of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. We'll continue with our prayers. Lord Jesus, you are the great champion of our salvation. We praise you for ascending to heaven after your victory over sin, Satan, and the grave. We praise you for completing your Father's rescue plan and for receiving from him all authority in heaven and on earth. Assure us each day that because you live and rule, our sins are forgiven, life is worth living, and death holds no terrors for us. Lord Jesus, you are the head of the church. We praise you for gathering us around your good news to be joined to you and united to one another. We praise you for the many dedicated servants of the Word who proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to people from all nations. Equip us to be instruments of your peace in our own time and place. Open our mouths to speak your good news and change our lives so that we reflect the beauty of the teachings of God our Savior in everything we do. Lord Jesus, you are the ruler of the universe. We praise you for your promise that you will return someday, not as a humble servant, but in full majesty to take us to live with you in heaven. We praise you for the certainty of your promises and the justice of your judgment. Prepare us for the day when you will come again by giving us trust that hearts that trust you more fully, hands that eagerly serve you, ears that are open to the message of your word, and lips that will speak the truth in love. Keep us devoted to our common tasks in this life, yet keep our minds on things above, where our eternal life is hidden with you there. Lord Jesus, hear us, for you have ascended to intercede before the Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name, as we also join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received his true body and blood as the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.